To glow in the dark.
Glow in the dark. Glow in the dark.
This is the Science Fiction Podcast, Glow in the Dark Radio. I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Our music is by Juan Carlos Quatordia. Well, by popular demand, we are getting into Vatican Abdicator on the podcast. The Adventures of B.C. Bernard Campion, the Vatican Assassin. This is the third part of the Vatican Assassin trilogy. B.C. has just been rescued from an ill-fated trip to Mars by CEO Richard Wentworth, whom B.C. filled in on the Eldred, Dolomei, and the seeming turning of Al Salid of the UIN by that Dolomei, a surviving member of the Ancient Enemy. That was in our last chapter. Now B.C. heads back to the moon to catch up with Anita and the Project, and then back to the Vatican to resume his duties as Pope. Unless... Yep, living up to its title already in this chapter. It's chapter 2 of Vatican Abdicator, on the way, on Glow in the Dark Radio. A little bit of news before we get into the chapter. Wanted to tell you about a new Alibi Jones story that's coming out. Alibi Jones, The Legacy. It's a comic book story, written by me, with lettering by me. And the art is beautiful and done by Juan Carlos Quatordia. Yes, the same one who does our music for the podcast. Juan Carlos volunteering, as well as I have, to do this story for Always Punch Nazis Volume 2. So yeah, it's about Alibi Jones and company punching Nazis. Right now it's a Kickstarter, so you can support it on Kickstarter, or just go there to find out more about it. Go to Kickstarter.com and put in Punch Nazis, and I believe it's the first one that comes up. There's 30 days to go as I record this, so just under a month as you're listening, probably. And again, that's Alibi Jones, The Legacy, with art by Juan Carlos Quatordia, words and letters by me. That's the next new Alibi Jones thing on the way. It's part of this Kickstarter anthology that you can get in on. Always Punch Nazis, Volume 2. There's a link in the show notes as well. A reminder, you can support me and this podcast on Patreon. I actually just shared a page from this upcoming Alibi Jones comic on Patreon. So you can become a patron there and support me with like $2 a month, $5 a month, $10 a month. That's usually all I'm asking for. Helps me pay to keep the podcast going and have a website and, you know, that kind of thing. Not looking to make money, just looking to break even. Again, if you go to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio, you can learn more about that. I also do pro voice work. I've got a new audiobook that'll be coming out. An Introduction to the Emerald Tablet of Thoth Hermes, that is on the way. And I work at very reasonable rates. You can find out more about my voice work by just going to glowinthedarkradio.com. Or go to glowinthedarkradio.com/voice-work. Or just go to the main site and click on voice work, you know. You can also sign up for my mailing list if you're there. Just scroll down the front page. That's enough news. Up next, we've got Chapter 2 of Vatican Abdicator, coming up on Glow in the Dark Radio.
Hey guys, I'm Ray Belli, the host of Words for Granted, a brand new podcast that looks at how words change over time. Have you ever wondered where words come from or why they mean what they mean? Yeah? Well, me too. In fact, I think about these things all the time, and that's why I've created Words for Granted. It's kind of like an ongoing greatest hits compilation of the most fascinating word evolutions in the English language. Did you know that villain once meant farm worker, or that bead once meant prayer? The bottom line is, if you're a word nerd, let's be friends. You can find out more about the show at wordsforgranted.com and follow Words for Granted on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. I hope you tune in to the next show.
Now here's Chapter 2 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. BC's thoughts wander as he travels. Back to the moon. Get my shit together there before I head back down to the Vatican. The Vatican, huh? I so do not want to go back there. That can't be good. I just don't want to be the fucking Pope. Damn. I should get in touch with Anita. Hey, Drex, can you put me through to someone on the comm?
Sure.
I need to reach a scientist with the project. Her name's Anita Capituna.
And she's on the moon?
Huh, good question. Not sure what her plans were for the week.
I think so. I'll try.
Drex calls into the moon, and somehow manages to get Anita on the other end of the comm.
BC? What happened? You're like 5.5 days early. We didn't pick you up. Whose ship are you on?
Things didn't go so well on Mars, Anita. I think Dolome is already there. I'm pretty sure he's gotten to Al-Salid. Instead of meeting with me, Al-Salid threw me in his cell. Wentworth's people helped me out, got me out of there and off of Mars, BC tells her.
Should you be saying all this on an open channel? She cautions.
Dolome can read minds, Anita. Do you think channels matter?
What did you say? He can read minds? BC, are you okay?
I'm fine. The Eldreds said the ancient enemy were more powerful than we are, right?
Right,
she agrees tentatively. Well, it turns out some of that power is mental power, psionic ability, and Dolome's using that power, his power, to twist Al-Salid. He was all set to cooperate and suggested this meeting. We were supposed to meet to work out a unified front against the Eldred. Instead, Al-Salid turned on me, as if we'd never spoken before. He sounded belligerent, ready to fight. It had to be Dolome messing with his head. I figured Dolome plans on taking over the UIN from behind the scenes, BC tells her. He could remember high tech from the distant past that's more advanced than what we have now. He may be able to help the UIN arm themselves with more advanced weapons, get them ready to fight. Think of the advantage that gives them.
This is bad then, isn't it? Anita asks him.
Yep.
This is weird.
Weird? BC asks, confused. I'm talking to you, but sitting here next to me is your simulacrum. Dell and his scientists did a pretty good job making your double. I'm talking to the real you over the comm, thousands of miles away, and yet you are sitting here in my room staring at me blankly. It's eerie. It'll be good to see the real you. Are you coming back here or going to Rome?
There, the moon. I'm going to duck in and replace my double there next to you, slip back in as if nothing happened.
Is the charade still working?
So far, you've kept a pretty low profile.
Good.
See you when you get back here.
Bye, Anita.
BC signs off.
So, the Pope has a girlfriend, huh?
Drex cracks.
No,
BC answers with a hint of defensiveness.
Why do you say that?
The way you talk to each other, Drex explains.
Just the way you both sounded, something about that. Sorry, didn't realize it was a touchy subject, anyways.
It's not, I mean, we're not...
BC stops.
Never mind. The rest of the trip is quiet.
BC watches through the viewport as the moon slowly grows larger. Sunlight glints off the main dome. The flashes would be blinding if not for the filters built into the window. The ship makes the final approach to Lunar Prime's port on a course that takes them over the city. They come in low over the Vatican mission, rebuilt just over a year ago after being leveled in the UIN attacks on Christmas Day 2109. BC can't help but smile.
I'm glad Mark Edwards made me pitch in and start rebuilding. Can't help but feel proud when I see the place I helped build. God, 90% of the station is new, after about 80% of the old place was destroyed in the UIN's Christmas raids. Funny, everyone calls it Lunar Prime now. Used to always be Reagan Station. But Meredith McIntyre and her husband, even Governor Erskine, have tried to make it Lunar Prime exclusively, mostly to assert their independence, their neutrality. Seems to have worked.
There are a few other ships in the port. A commercial supply freighter is leaving as Drex maneuvers their ship in for a landing. The port is quiet as BC and Drex disembark. Armed Lunar Security Corps members stand guard near the exits, stationed in greater numbers since Governor Erskine announced her quarantine back in March.
Hey!
BC almost jumps, startled to see Anita standing there.
I didn't see you there.
Didn't mean to scare you, she says with a grin.
BC catches Drex smirking. The pilot gives him a wink.
She does sound glad to see me.
Here, put this on.
She hands him a blonde wig and a hooded robe. She looks around to see if anyone is watching them.
My disguise? BC says, wrinkling his brow.
Just put it on,
she snaps, getting frustrated with him. BC throws on the disguise. He brings the hood up to cover his new blonde tresses. Dressed in his disguise, he follows Anita out of the spaceport. BC inhales the humid air as they cross the atrium, enjoying the aroma of the growing vegetation. He looks up at the young trees reaching for the bright dome overhead. Still have a way to go to replace the old ones, but they're getting there. Probably grow faster in the lower gravity. BC and Anita pass a few people making their way across the public space, but no one pays any notice. They leave the open space of the dome and walk on through the winding corridors that lead to the Vatican mission and his quarters. BC can't help but do a double take as they enter his rooms. His manufactured double sits facing the door, staring out into space, immobile.
So, that's what I look like? Weird.
No jokes about being beside yourself, Anita warns BC with a smile. BC takes off the hooded robe, lifts the wig off of his head, and puts it loosely on the simulacrum. Huh, now I know what I just looked like. Check this out, Anita says. She takes out a small control device. She points it at the double, and the face begins to melt and shift. Suddenly, it no longer looks like BC. The features have shifted to resemble someone else, or perhaps reset to some neutral expression in looks. Keyword, twin. Command word, homecoming, Anita says to the simulacrum. The no longer BC's double gets up silently. The wig falls from its head as it leaves the room. What did you do? BC asks Anita. I triggered his homing beacon. He's heading back to Dell and Krish. He's pre-programmed to find his way back to the project base on the dark side. She looks BC up and down, and her nose wrinkles. Are you going to change? BC only just realizes he's been wearing the same tech jumpsuit for a couple of days.
I've got to be kind of ripe.
And refresh, BC says. Will you excuse me?
Certainly.
BC leaves Anita in his living room and heads for the refresher and a clean change of clothes. After he gets out of the refresher, he finds himself frozen as he stares at the pressed white three-piece suits that hang in his closet in front of him. His papal uniforms. The white suits he had the Vatican tailors create for him in an attempt to modernize the Pope's wardrobe.
Don't really want to wear one of those suits again. It doesn't feel right. Really don't think I can do this anymore. The Pope part, anyway. 2.5 months of this is too much. Besides, how can I be Pope and lead our war efforts? Think I'll put on some civvies for now.
BC opts for a simple t-shirt and jeans instead of his papal attire. He walks back into the living room and discovers a guest. BC, look who's here, your ambassador, Anita says. Mbeki stands resplendent in a red patterned robe that combines traditional African attire with his new Catholic Church's cardinal's gear. His bright smile for BC shines out from his dark ebony complexion. His brown eyes glow with the warmth of friendship. Mbeki, BC smiles, greeting his old friend.
BC, so good to have the real you back.
And Becky exclaims, What, you didn't like my body double? BC jokingly asks.
Just not the same, although he was better behaved.
Hey, thanks. No suit? Anita asks, noticing BC's casual dress. Nah, BC says, letting it trail. He looks at Mbeke, tagged out in full regalia, and an idea hits him. A way out.
Brilliant, that's it. Can I do that? Fuck it, I'm doing it. I'm the fucking Pope, for now.
I have heard. Things didn't work out so well on Mars, Mbeke says to BC. Al-Salid was not as responsive as you'd hoped.
Did not go well, no, BC admits, sounding distracted. He's a little preoccupied by his new idea. Mbeke, how would you feel about a promotion?
A promotion?
A promotion, BC confirms, smiling broadly at Mbeke. I have a great idea.
Uh-oh.
Anita and Mbeke say, nearly in unison. Mbeke, Anita, I'm going to abdicate. I just can't be Pope anymore. BC blurts it out.
What?
Anita and Mbeke ask, again, almost together.
I can't be Pope anymore. It's not me. I'm not it.
BC shakes his head. We're facing the renewed battle between the Eldred and the ancient enemy, and we're caught right in the middle. I need to be able to do things and go places that the Pope just can't do or go to. I can't be Pope and lead the war against the Eldred.
There were military popes back in medieval times, Mbeki observes.
BC keeps shaking his head.
I mean, look at it. I shouldn't have gone on this trip to Mars because I'm the fucking Pope,
he says a little louder than he meant to. He calms himself.
But I'm going to have to do stuff like that if there is a war.
So I'm naming you Pope in my absence, Mbeki. I'm abdicating and I name you as my successor. Anita and Mbeki can only stare in wonder at BC. BC returns their stares with a smile.
You're insane, Anita says, breaking the silence. She glares at him. You can't do this.
Yeah.
Mbeke finally speaks.
What she said.
Come on, BC insists. It just makes sense. I'm too many things. It's too much. I'm Pope. I'm CEO of the project. Head CEO of the UTZ Council. It's crazy. So I'm making you Pope, Mbeke, BC tells him. It looks like we've got a war to fight. Personally, I can't reconcile waging a war with being Pope. This from the guy who used to kill for the Pope? Anita says, in disbelief.
Really now, BC, I don't think anyone knows your resume better.
Mbeke protests. I've, evolved, I think, BC says. He shakes his head. I'm not the same guy I used to be, and I just can't do the Pope thing anymore.
Can I talk you out of this? Any of it? Like, say, the part where you are making me Pope?
Mbeke protests. Nope, it all flooded into my mind when I saw you, Mbeke. Maybe it's divine inspiration. BC's smile drops. I've had a lot on my mind. I'm pretty sure we're on the brink of war. The Eldred are scared. With Dolomei loose among the Muslims, the Eldred may start to treat all of us humans as if we are the ancient enemy. I'm also worried Dolomei will give the UIN a technological advantage against us, especially with their weapons, BC says. He pauses for a little effect before he asks, who knows what ancient but advanced knowledge he has? BC looks back and forth at Mbeke and Anita. I think we have to figure either the UIN or the Eldred or both will be attacking us soon. We'll get hit by both sides, Anita realizes.
Caught in the middle of a million-year-old war, Mbeke observes.
BC nods. He looks Anita in the eye. Anita, we've got to get the project shipyard's production ramped up. We're going to need as many armed transspace ships as the project can crank out fast. Ramped up, she says incredulously. Our facilities aren't even geared towards mass production, BC. Anita breaks the news to him. We haven't been about mass production for years. Fine, but you used to be, right? She nods. So you could be back in business with the right help, right? UTZ help? Scientists, workforce, resources? They're all at your disposal, Anita, he informs her. Here's an idea. Why not make the shipyard out at the asteroid base work on smaller ships and turn the UTZ shipyard here on the moon into your major shipyard? It's all at your disposal. You're in charge. But we need this like yesterday. I'm putting you in charge because I know you can do it, BC tells her, trying to sound confident and encouraging. I guess we could. We can try, she says a little reluctantly. We've got more of a custom shop on the asteroid base than a shipyard these days, so I guess we'll have to build up the UTZ yards on the moon. It makes the most sense. Although, we could build up another shipyard near the asteroid base, start from scratch using some of the old assembly line equipment from back when Dell and the boys were building UTZ ships, she says more to herself than to BC and Mbeke. Anita's gathering steam as she begins to think the process through. We haven't done weapons on a large scale in decades. We'll need supplies, she says, thinking out loud. You'll have them, BC assures her. Wentworth has promised us whatever we need. Have our people contact his people. They'll get you whatever you ask for. Oh, okay, sure, great. So, anything else? She asks him. That's not enough? Oh, it's plenty, she says with a quick laugh. I thought we'd have a few days to relax before you got back here with good news from Mars. Instead, you're back early and all hell's breaking loose, she exclaims. We're about to be hit by an attack from either the UIN or the Eldred or both. You're trying to abdicate as Pope and throw poor Mbeke here under that bus? And you want me to instantly ramp up ship production in facilities that are either inadequate, outdated, or don't yet exist? Does that about sum it up? She asks, an angry edge to her voice. How soon can you get started? BC asks her, joking, trying to lighten the mood. She scowls, frowns, makes a strange face. No time like the present, huh? She says with a touch of venom in her voice. She gives BC a glaring look, then turns and leaves the room. BC watches her go, a little dazed. He stares at the space where she was. I think she wanted to slap me just then. Why? What did I say? I thought she and I were maybe getting somewhere, but...
You're still insane, BC. I like that,
Mbeke says, interrupting BC's confusion.
So, do you really think you can just make me the Pope?
I do. Hell, Mbeke, you're so much more suited to the job than I am. Plus, you look good in a robe.
You're serious. I can't believe you're serious.
BC smiles. Funny, I've felt at peace since the thought occurred to me. Makes total sense. I'm tired of the contradictions. I'm tired of trying to be something I'm not. I'm serious, BC assures him. You won't be the first Black Pope, but you might be the first openly gay pontiff.
Good thing you added that openly part, or I was going to have to correct you.
And Becky says with a laugh. He grows suddenly quiet.
The immensity of the office hitting him? I know how that feels. Overwhelming.
BC.
Mbeke starts to say something. He stops, closes his eyes. They snap open and he waves his arms.
No, no, I can't do this.
He protests. Too late, BC tells him. It's done. You're the new Pope. Deal with it. I had to.
Yes, and you have obviously handled it immensely well,
Mbeke cracks. Don't be a bitch, Mbeke. You're the Pope now. It's not becoming of you.
Never stopped you,
Mbeke parries. Silence falls for a moment, and Mbeke finally breaks it.
You're sure?
He asks again. Yep.
Okay, then. What about the whole election process? Will the NCC even accept your decision? How is this legal, binding?
It is because I say it is. It's like a battlefield promotion in an emergency situation, BC explains his logic to Mbeke. And you better start acting like the Pope, because I'm going to stop acting like the Pope. And if you don't act like the Pope, well, then no one will, and there'll be no Pope. Worst case scenario, they'll call you Acting Pope.
Okay, then,
Mbeke says.
I'm gonna go now, BC. I must wrap my head around all the shit you have just laid on me,
Mbeke says with a sigh. Well, that's understandable, BC says. Thank you, Mbeke.
I have to give you this, BC. It's never dull around you these days.
And Becca gives BC a slight bow and leaves.
What's with the bow? Jeesh.
Huh. After that, I think I can finally relax. Maybe get some rest. I hope I haven't alienated either Mbeke or Anita. It's a lot to put on each of them. But they're the only people I can trust to do these things. They'll be fine. BC secures his rooms and then settles in to rest. He lies down, closes his eyes, and tries to get a good night's sleep.
That was Chapter 2 of Vatican Abdicator on Glow in the Dark Radio. Well, with the human race facing dual alien threats from the Eldred and Dolome, it might not be the best time to be a man of peace. So, done. BC has abdicated. Now, keep in mind, when I wrote this story, when I wrote this book, again, no pope had abdicated since 1415. It was Gregory XII, as it turned out. Abdicator, the word, was not even recognized as a word in online dictionaries or spell checkers. Vatican Abdicator came out originally in 2008. Then I put it out with a new cover and all the rest in 2012. And it wasn't until the next year after that, in 2013, that Pope Benedict stepped down, abdicated. And we had a real-life Vatican Abdicator. So I'm thinking I need to title my next book something like Mike Luoma Makes Oodles of Cash. You know, if these things are going to come true. Well, with BC putting his silly papal business aside... Now we can focus on those alien threats soon at hand. Dolome, the UIN, maybe working together, Dolome and the UIN. And the Eldred, of course, with their plague and all. I hope you'll join me next time as BC gets down to business, and that business is interplanetary war. As we get into Chapter 3 of Vatican Abdicator, on our next episode of Glow in the Dark Radio. Again, a little bit of news. There is an upcoming Alibi Jones story you can get your hands on in Always Punch Nazis Volume 2. It's a comic book anthology that is coming out from Pilot Studios. And you can get in on the Kickstarter now. Go to Kickstarter.com and look for Punch Nazis, or just follow the link in the show notes. And it's a new short story by myself, written and lettered by myself, with the art by Juan Carlos Quatordio. Again, that's live on Kickstarter right now. You can support this podcast on Patreon. I hope you'll consider doing that. Just head to patreon.com/glowinthedarkradio and become a patron today. Patron, right? Patron sounds like a robot of some kind. I am a patron. And that is all for this week. Our music, as always, by the multi-talented Juan Carlos Quatordio. and I'm your host, your writer and reader, Mike Luoma. Thank you again for listening to Glow in the Dark Radio.